Hey guys, Butters from South Park here. Just want to make sure you have your parents' permission to be listening to this. You know, sometimes we talk about some pretty racy things, like boobies. Well, I guess I'd better get going now. Enjoy the show.
Please state your name.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Please state your purpose.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. Read reviews, choose your own commission plan, and learn more about Mark at markcharter.com.
Now, hear this.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Mark Charter.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more Adam Gray.
And Adam Gray.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to today's podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Mark Charter Real Estate, markcharter.com. Iowa Real Estate on Twitter. He brings you the podcast each and every week. Mark Charter babysitting service going on right now. Shout out to Katie for saving my day.
Let it be known that the Charters step up to help. When a friend's in need, that's what we do.
There's nothing worse. I'm just learning this. This is the first time it's ever happened as a parent than when you get the text, hey, I'm sick, from the babysitter. You need to come get your kid.
Yeah.
And then your whole day just, it's like an avalanche. It just all like crumbles down.
Was she really sick?
Yes.
I mean, or was she just really into the British Open and really wanted to just take some time off to watch Phil Mickelson play?
Sick.
She was sick. Okay.
Yeah.
That's too bad. It's a terrible feeling. And like you said, you got to pick him up and...
thank God for Katie Charter.
It's a good thing.
Chady Carter.
You know, it's a good thing you don't have a normal job, too, to where you can go pick up.
It is. It is a good thing. My wife, of course, if you get to know her more, you'll know this. So I said she would do it without actually asking her if she would do it.
Oh, why didn't you tell me that?
But I know her well. I've been with her for like 20 years. So I know her, and she loves kids. And she's one of those people that will go way out of her way to her own inconvenience to help somebody else.
God bless her.
So she's just a sweetheart.
I actually saw her leave and drive somewhere to go pick up Olson's kid when we were golfing one time.
Yeah, that's who she is. If you say, Katie, I need a favor, she'll do it no matter what. Even if she had to cancel a date with me, she would go do it, which drives me nuts sometimes. But hey, that's also why I love her. So anyway, but when I told her the news, she's like, the house is a mess. She does the typical woman thing, you know, like we all have wives. I think we know what I'm talking about. And my immediate thought, and I'm correct, is I said, I don't think she's like going to be walking around exploring the space here. I
mean, she
stays fairly confined.
She just lies there and giggles.
What's up with that, Chris? Are you worried about that? Is she like that she's not moving yet? Or
she had a freaking cast and leg brace on for the first 5 months.
I'm kidding because she's 6 months old. Oh,
okay. Give her a moment, man.
Yeah, no, she can't. Like, she doesn't know how to do any of that stuff yet. She's kind of figuring it out.
She's too little still, yeah.
Yeah, she's finally rolling over.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're making some progress.
So when I left, she was in a...
when do they start walking? Sorry.
My daughter is over one and is not quite walking yet, so it could be around one.
She's moving around.
She moves well, and she'll walk along, like grabbing the coffee table. She'll walk along, but she hasn't taken that brave, bold step.
Every kid's different.
But when I left, Cammie's in like a cradle bassinet thing or whatever those things are called, and my wife's feeding her a bottle, and my daughter is outside watching this going, she gets super jealous. She's like, I want that, no matter what it's going to be. She's going to be jealous.
I believe it was the Rock in play.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do any of you guys have those friends that are like, when I was 8 months old, I was walking around? Any of those friends
who brag about like what they're...
I'm like, no, you weren't walking 8 months. Yeah, my mom said I was walking. No, you were not walking at 8 months.
I gained some perspective on this because my expectations now that kids, especially pregnant with number three.
By the way, she was not happy that you declared that to everybody last week.
Yeah, but she's used to me declaring things I'm not supposed to declare.
She made sure to tell me that.
Okay.
Not happy with you.
So anyway, she got over it. But the first child, when you have a first child, I think you're full of expectations of what they should be, what you want them to be. You want them to be the best at everything, etc. And that's one of the things that drives parents nuts is, my kid walked 7 months. Mine talked, whatever. And one day I woke up and I said, you know what? Most of us all end up walking. We all end up talking. You know, how tall we are, big we are as babies really doesn't matter that much. Why do we focus so much on when you walk? Like, okay, well, you walked at 8 months and my son walked at 12 months, so you'll be faster,
yeah,
or you'll be a better athlete or whatever. It has no correlation whatsoever. Some kids are just a little bit lazier than others to get started, to get going. But I don't know. Why do we care? You know, when the first word comes, why do we care? I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, no, I don't get that either. I guess with us too. I mean, I have no idea what's normal. So, and I don't really care what's normal.
There really is no normal. I mean, honestly, I've heard anywhere from 10 to 15 months for most kids walking. I mean, some kids take till they're 15, 16 months to walk.
Mine will probably take that long.
I've heard of kids not talking until well past 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is a long time. I mean, according to doctors, but again, they grow up and become normal humans.
I'm so tired of these people throwing their PhDs my way. Mm-hmm. Like these stupid scientists trying to tell me that Pluto is not a planet. You know, these doctors, oh, your kid should talk at the... Come on.
I heard you going on and on yesterday.
Dinosaurs are real. Yeah, like dinosaurs. Like they really roam the earth. Come on.
You love talking. You love talking about Uranus yesterday on the program.
I do like to talk about Uranus on the radio.
What, are you a fan of Uranus?
I'm not a huge fan of Uranus. I don't think that... I mean, really, all Uranus is a giant ball of gas.
And, what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's crazy that Uranus is considered a planet, but Pluto isn't. It's stupid.
I love to...
If I wanted to go and walk on Uranus, I wouldn't be able to.
You know what I love?
I could Pluto.
You know I'm an organizer. I like to get guys together. I like to have a good time. There'd be nothing more fun for me than to get a bunch of guys together and celebrate and have a party all around Uranus.
Yeah,
we're doing like eighth grade jokes now, aren't we?
That would be fantastic.
That's what we did yesterday on the radio. Unfortunately,
oh jeez.
And Gray, we're just trying to make Gray blush today.
Yeah. Adam's over there, guys. You're gonna offend the 60-year-old women.
Just wait till we talk about the ESPYs here in a second. We're gonna get them going.
We should just. Can I do an Iowa State topic?
Yeah,
sure.
Please.
Before we get to the ESPYs,
please.
Yeah. No, I'm. So I opened up the mailbag the other day. So the Big 12 Media Days are next week. Sponsored by Adam. Who do we have? We got a new sponsor.
Gershman Mortgage.
Gershman Mortgage. I have to talk to those guys. Do they do the refinance?
I'm sure they do.
Maybe that sounds classy. That sounds like a composer.
Give me... looking into a little refinance action.
All right. Well,
I'm at 4%. Can you beat 4%? Can those guys beat it?
Why are you asking if I can beat it? 4%? I don't work for Gershman Mortgage.
You're at 4% on a 30 right now?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's where rates are now.
Yeah, you can't beat that right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to give Gershman Mortgage a shot.
Well,
since they're part of Team Fanatic.
Where you save the dough is you refine and go down to a 15. That's where you save the dough because the 15 is going to have a lower rate.
You're paying more per month, but you're saving
more. You pay more per month, but you pay off the house a heck of a lot quicker.
I should do that. That's what I should look into.
Well, especially if you have all this extra income now.
Stop.
You got to find ways to put this money somewhere.
Seriously, you need to call your local mortgage provider and ask, what would it take to get me to a 15?
Gershman Mortgage. That's what I want to know.
There you go.
Okay. Where was it? Where was
Cyclone mailbag.
We're just trying to figure out where you can spend your money.
I feel like it's weird because this happens every year. But like the closer we get to a season, the more optimistic people get. So like, you know, if you bring up any Iowa State football topic in June, it's like, and there's certain guys who are going to be negative about everything all the time. And I understand that. But now it's like getting closer to media day. And it's because I opened up this mailbag and it's like, wow, these are fairly optimistic questions.
Do
you guys notice that?
I agree with him completely, by the way. But I think what it is, it isn't about the program. It's not about they're optimistic about Iowa State. Now, they may think that way because that's their team. Okay, Iowa State's my team. But what you're actually optimistic for is the season. You know, you can literally smell the brats cooking in the parking lot. You know, the beautiful Saturdays, you're going out to the game. We got a new stadium to look forward to, at least the end zone. For me, that's what I look forward to. I think Iowa State's going to stink. Personally, but I'm still excited about the season.
Tell me what you really think, Mark.
I'm going to go back. I think they're going to suck. Okay, instead of stink. But there you go. Run with it.
I've actually seen it's funny to me. Nationally, there's more optimism about Iowa State this year than locally. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and I think most fans, obviously, for the right reasons, we've won 5 games in 2 years. They're down on the program. But as soon as Paul Rhodes comes out or Wally Burnham comes out or Shane or whoever comes out and says, you know, Justin Madison's really been killing it in practice, all of a sudden the fans are going to be like, oh, we got this new DN who's really stepped up. And all of a sudden people are going to say, we're winning 3 games. So you'll start seeing 6, 7 people. post. And I'll tell you what, if we beat you and I in Iowa, the people that are predicting two wins will all of a sudden start predicting us to win games. You watch the threads, the game day prediction threads during the season, if we go 2-0, I'll bet you 80% of people will pick Iowa State to win the next game.
But Chris, you say nationally the optimism is better than locally, but I would consider Vegas national, okay? I think we can all agree that Vegas is not full of dummies. And
correct.
They put over under at what, 3.5? Is that where we're at?
Three and a half, depends on where you look.
Okay, that means we're going to stink, basically. So what's happening?
Like, I talked to Phil Steele, and he thinks Iowa State's going to be contending for a bowl game.
He wasn't trying to sell subscriptions to Iowa State fans, was he?
Yeah, he doesn't sell subscriptions. I mean, he really does if you read his magazine. That's what he writes in the magazine. ESPN, just yesterday, they're blogging. I mean, like, the Kansas State game is, I think it's like a third or two-thirds of the way through the schedule. They have Iowa State winning in Manhattan and with four wins at that point.
Nice.
So my point is, like, nationally, the perception is different than we're seeing locally.
Now, let's say the line's 3.5. Gun in your head. You taking the over-under there, Charter?
I think they'll win three or fewer, so I would go under.
Take four. I think they're at four.
I'd go under.
I'd take the over.
But let me ask you this. So you said they're going to win in Manhattan, or that's what that publication said.
ESPN did, yeah.
But if I told you, Chris, okay, if Iowa State wins in Manhattan, I'll give you $1,000. But if they don't, you have to give me 100. Okay, 10-1 odds. Would you take that bet? No spread.
Yeah, I probably would.
See, so you think they can win?
Just because that's a game that Iowa State always plays well.
Well, and you can't get 10-1 odds in Vegas for that game.
No,
there's no way.
Yeah, I would take that.
We might have to make that bet later in the year.
I'm fine with
that. Can I get in on that?
Maybe. Is that halfway through the season? When is that game?
No, it's like two-thirds the way through, I believe.
Why does Williams always get these $1,000 bets?
You want a chance to eat 15 hot dogs?
No.
I'll give you $1,000.
I'm even more confident than I was that I can.
What's the latest with that? When are we going
to
do this?
We need to talk to Ross.
Guys,
I don't know.
It's never going to happen.
No, I'm doing it.
Williams is all talk.
He's already said he's going to do a radio program around this event.
Yes.
He can't back out now.
We said it on the air. We talked about it.
Yeah, he can't back out now.
You also said you're going
to
get a Bryce Drew tattoo, and I still don't think you would have actually done that.
But he didn't have to do that, though.
Same thing.
Oh, I would have done that.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, it would have been at a place where nobody could ever see it, but I absolutely would have lived up to that.
Hopefully sometime in the next couple of weeks, we can get this hot dog thing done.
Yeah, we will.
Because football season's going to screw you up, so we need to get it done.
No, we'd like to. Look forward to that. I got lost my thought. I'm going to Dallas on Sunday, and then... I don't know. It's funny how that works because everything's been negative, negative, negative. And for the most part, it still is. But it is good to see people at least have a little hope.
Well, let's do a positive spin right now, right?
Yeah,
fifth
sure.
Fifth-year quarterback. This will be his third year as a starter.
Yes.
Full-time starter. That's good. Wide receiver corps, maybe the most talented as a whole.
Phil Steele told me the most underrated in America.
Yeah. Size everywhere. And I think the tight end position, not having Bibbs or a tight end, I think it's a little overrated. I think Mangino can... You know,
Montgomery will fill that role a lot.
Mangino, second year in the system.
Yep.
That's a positive. Tucker on defensive line, adding him, positive. Getting those two defensive ends there for a full year that were just in for JUCO last year, it's a positive.
Those guys are not bad either.
No.
I like Dale Pearson a lot.
Yeah, really solid. Nigel Tribune.
Let me ask you guys a question about the Iowa State receivers. Because I have a perception that you guys can change, and maybe it's because I'm comparing them to receiving cores like Baylor, which isn't fair. But
no, that's not fair.
I think of Iowa State's receivers as possession receivers and not speedy guys.
I wouldn't call...
Am I off base?
Bundridge isn't... I wouldn't call Bundridge a possession guy.
We didn't see him, though, last year because he was hurt.
Well, I know, but we saw him 2 years ago, and he was pretty good. I mean, he tied Iowa State's touchdown record.
So part of what you need as a receiving core to help your team offensively is speed, so you can stretch the field.
Bundridge has speed.
He can separate. Bundridge can separate.
Now, Lazard and Montgomery, I would call more possession guys at this point.
Possession that have downfield threat due to size, though.
Yeah. They're
like
not
jump ball guys.
These aren't Marquise Hamilton we're talking about.
No. They run faster than 4.82.
These are good receivers. I mean, to me, it all comes down to the line. Because I think Richardson, like, if you give him time with those tools, like, and the running back position, I mean, if you've got holes, most guys at the Division I level can do something with it. I think the line will be the center position. Is a concern. I think if the center position's okay, the line should be better.
Yeah.
Because besides center, everyone's back.
Yeah. It should be better. Yeah. But the center position's a huge spot, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for good things. I don't, you know, the gambler part of me says they're not going to be that great.
I would take the over.
You still haven't gotten over that Iowa State-Kansas game, have you? That still stings a little bit.
Yeah, that wasn't even a game. You're using the word game loosely.
Well,
that was a slaughter. That was an embarrassment. You know, and that it's games like that, which, what was it, like 41-7 or something? I don't recall what
Maybe
we were down that much to begin with.
No, they got down 24-0.
Yeah,
and they came back.
And it was like 24-17.
And if, you know, not to throw Mr. Cold Net under the bus because it wasn't his reason they lost, but he missed a couple of kicks, I want to say, in that game, or one that were crucial, and then it just stalled.
Yeah.
But they stormed back in that one. That was an embarrassment for Iowa State University.
And that's what's frustrating as a football program is, and not that we had turned a corner before that game, but we go down there and it's like, this is Kansas. We're probably better than this team. And you just don't show up. It's like, how does that happen from week to week?
They tore the goalpost down.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's
pathetic. Is that the only time in history Iowa State, someone has tore the goalpost down for beating Iowa State in football? It's got to be.
I didn't know they did that. That's really pathetic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, when else would there be?
The only thing that made that day more tolerable, though, was that Iowa got whooped bigger than Iowa State got whooped that day.
Yeah, that was...
by Minnesota.
That was a positive.
So, yeah, I'm thinking about making a return trip out there. We'll see.
The defense will be better this year. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, it can't be worse. I mean,
I know.
Let's be honest, too. A lot of it hinges on, and we talk about it over and over, is injuries. And that, I'm not saying that as an excuse. It's a problem of the coaching staff. They have not been able to get depth.
Injuries in the offense, too. I mean, yeah. When the offense goes 3-and-out.
Yep. And that's not an excuse because, once again, you have to build depth in a football program. Paul Rhodes and staff, they have not been able to do it lately. They've had too many people coming and going on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you look back.
Yeah.
Last year's defensive line should have been phenomenal.
It should have been like one of the best in Iowa State history.
Irving Coe, Colin Bevins. What was that stud that just was not very smart that never ended up making it here from down in Florida?
Quentin Pompey.
I mean, they had players. They just couldn't keep them here. And that... if you're at Iowa State, you can't miss. You can't miss on four kids out of two classes on the defensive line.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of missing. That's a lot of missing.
When you're here, you're not really here. All you're doing is texting and tweeting.
I'm trying to figure out schedule with my wife.
So I went to...
We're trying to be a parent.
I got to give my review of the new Wrigley Field, by the way, because... we went there, my wife and I went to a game last Saturday.
I hear you got a ball.
Got a ball. So our seats were, we were on TV a lot. We taped the game, and constantly there's like a shot when the batter backs out of the batter's box, a right-handed hitter, and they just kind of are showing the guy every single time we're in the background. I can confirm that ponchos at Wrigley Field cost $10 a piece.
Did it rain on you?
It started raining a little bit. Yeah, it wasn't ever like a downpour, but it was like, this is annoying type of rain. So sprung for a couple ponchos. But we were basically kind of technically the first row behind the dugout, but we were a little bit to the right of the dugout. So basically, I looked, you know,
Jeez, what are you doing, Gray?
I apologize.
He can never figure this out. So probably eight, nine feet away from me was Joe Madden the whole game in the dugout. And baseball managers during the game, this game in particular, was 5-1 White Sox. Don't do much. He would grab the lineup card out of the back of his pants. He'd look at it. He'd mark something down. He'd put it back.
Be so boring.
The entire game, though, I don't think he ever addressed his players during the 9 innings. I think he went out and made a pitching change at one point, and he had to argue a call. He didn't even argue it. It was just clearly the guy was out at first. They called him safe. He went out and said, replay it, and they did, and it got overturned. So a major league manager, at least in that game, doesn't do much. Wrigley Field still looks awesome with the scoreboards. The scoreboard's huge, too, by the way. The one in left field, that thing is massive for that park.
Mm-hmm.
Wrigley Field is gorgeous. According to my wife, Chris Bryant is gorgeous. He was right there in the on-deck circle, right in front of us, and she liked, Mama liked.
He'd bend over to pick up the little
Mama liked
donut.
A lot. What Daddy didn't like was Chris Bryant striking out his first three plate appearances that game. So, but Seton got a ball. Seton wasn't at the game, but like third inning, fourth inning, a White Sox, and I'm not a White Sox fan, so I don't even know who it was. I wasn't even paying attention. Hits one deep in the hole. It's shortstop to Starlin Castro. Starlin dives on the ground, catches it, gets up, throws it across, gets him by a step at first. defensive play of the game. For whatever reason, the ball's not even that scuffed, but then they threw that ball out of play. I said something wrong with it, even though I've seen it. And then threw it to the ball guy who was sitting right in front of us, the ball boy. And he kind of held it up to a guy in front of me, like, hey, you want this? And the guy's like, nah. And I said, I'll take it. So he tossed it to me.
Nice.
So Seton's baseball got touched by John Lester, threw it. Starlin Castro fielded it. And Anthony Rizzo caught it at first.
That is a star-studded cast.
That's a star-studded cast on that baseball. Right. So we brought it home to him. He was pumped. And
what did Seton say when he got the ball?
Yeah, he thinks everything you give him is cool.
Yeah.
He's at that age. And then we showed him the play on TV. We said, that's your ball right there.
If I go back and look at this, is there going to be a video of you like stiff arming a little kid in the face to get this ball as they throw?
No, I'm not on TV receiving the ball, unfortunately.
It's a fair question.
And then my other review, by the way, is of the Trump Hotel, famous Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Did you stay there?
We stayed there.
President, upcoming president, yeah.
A couple nights at the Trump Hotel. Very nice location. Very nice staff, very nice rooms. They got the automatic blinds, you know, the whole deal. A well-stocked mini bar, which we did not partake in.
Is that one of the mini bars, like, where if you drink something that you get, you...
You get charged big time money.
Yeah.
There. So, it was, if you're ever in Chicago and want to stay in a nice hotel, the Trump Hotel.
That's the place to be.
It's nice. Donald did not tuck us in. But they have turndown service, so when you're gone for the night, they come into your room, they put the robes on the bed, they turn the big TV, they had a big TV in this room, they turn it to a fake fish aquarium for you.
I thought you were going to say, like, adult entertainment.
That would be awesome, but no.
Where you walk in and
they did not,
just
they did not,
going at it.
They did not do that at all.
Really setting the mood.
Yeah.
They would be.
Here's a robe.
Yeah. And the other cool thing
hand lotion.
You go in the bathroom. You go in the bathroom. Big mirror, of course, in a bathroom right above the sink.
Yeah.
Inset in the mirror, a TV.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. They've got those down at the hotel I'm going to stay at in Dallas, too.
Yeah. So
those are the best.
You can be sitting there brushing your teeth or whatever.
Taking a shower, you stick your head out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say taking a shit. And
oh, there it is.
Gray.
There it is.
It's fine.
There it is. Does that even count, though? Because
yes.
He was describing defecation.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Discussing. It still counts.
All right. Williams is out with the notepad. Marking it down for a bleep. Great. What?
You know, you always write these down. You've forgotten to do it the last two or three
weeks. No, just the last time I forgot.
How do you?
Great. Nobody swore.
How do you accidentally swear so often?
There's no accident
about
that.
How do you have the...
I like to make Williams work.
To all you podcast listeners out there, all you Fockers... Gray is not the clean one here. The perception is that I go a little blue sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Chris just kind of goes along with it, and then Gray's over in the corner just pouting because we're talking about dirty things. Yet you're the one that always is cussing on this thing.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I'm kind of the bear poker.
You are. You like to stoke the fire.
Yeah. That's just me in general.
By the way, I was proud of you. You came to my defense on the forum.
I did come to your
the
defense
the other day,
yeah.
For what's the screen name?
Psy Crazy.
Psy Crazy. Psy Crazy likes to tell me that I suck.
And I know him. He's a good guy.
All the
time. I don't know what his deal
is. Like everything I post, basically, I'm a horrible person.
Do I know this guy? Do I know Psy Crazy?
No.
And William said, how about you lay off Charter?
Took one for the team.
Which was nice. And then I don't think he ever responded to that. So maybe your verbal spanking sent him to his room.
Well, my old deal is, like, we don't need to pile on. If they don't like you, fine.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like me, fine.
Yeah.
But, like, obsessing over it annoys me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm cool with, we're all putting, by doing a podcast, you put yourself out there. We're mm-hmm. giving our opinions. We're telling you about our lives. If you don't like it, that's fine. We're big boys. We can handle it. I just don't like the constant, like, just shut up already.
Would I like him in real life if I met him?
Yeah.
See, that's what, like, why do people do that then?
I don't know.
Like, it's weird to me that you describe someone as a good guy, like mm-hmm. somebody that would be fun to hang out with.
Well, these people, they get...
And then online, they become dicks. I don't get that.
I don't... That's why I get so annoyed with our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Just the comments. The comments on it. And what amazes me about it is that's not anonymous.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Like, people, it's weird. Like, if they get on YouTube or Facebook comments, they'll just freaking go crazy.
They become mean.
It's the lowest common denominator of humanity. when you look at
a message board, like the comments?
No, not even a message board, because like I feel like in a message board, like on our board, people keep themselves in check. Like it's a community, even though it's anonymous. Like
our mods do a pretty good job of keeping it clean.
Well, and even like the other users, like we'll call each other out, and like it's pretty self-police. But like if you get on like Facebook and YouTube, people are just insane when they come to their comments.
You read an article and you look at the comments below an article, it's brutal.
Makes you sick about humanity.
That will make that
go
will
to
make
the registers. It's the worst.
That'll make you dumber, though.
Oh, yeah.
The ones I always love, and I can tell you the comments before the article's even written, is for whatever reason, like in, I think KCCI does this, the Des Moines Register does it, where they'll do an article about a mansion, you know, just some mansion that's on the market, and I kind of get it being newsworthy because people like big houses, you know, they think it's cool or whatever. But always below those articles are comments about, I don't know why anyone would need a house that big. Can you imagine the mortgage on that? Talk about your priorities being out of whack. Negative, 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 negative. And frankly, in my opinion, those are coming from jealous people that are mad that they, not that they would want a mansion, but can't afford one if they wanted to. It's like, why go out of your way to write a comment like that? That's what I don't understand.
We see that a lot anymore, is people put down people that make a lot of money.
Like Williams.
Well, I could go into a political thing right now, but I'm not going to, so I'll just stop.
Well, let's talk about the ESPYs and let Gray go on his political rant.
Let's get off politics and go to transgendered people. That's better.
I thought that was a beautiful speech that Caitlyn Jenner gave last night at the ESPYs.
I liked it.
I loved it, man. My wife and I rewinded it and watched it again.
Rewinded?
Rewound.
Yeah.
Rewound a word? Okay. Yeah. We rewound it and watched it again. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was a beautiful, beautiful speech. Perfectly delivered. The cadence was awesome. The ESPN did a good job, or ABC, whatever, you know, panning to the crowd, getting good reactions. I loved it.
I'm sure he wrote it himself, too.
Yeah. Did you like the pre-speech video package that they did on it to kind of build up to it?
Yeah. No, I thought everything was very well
done. And it was, who did the voiceover on that? Drawing a blank.
Was it Diane Sawyer?
No.
Probably Morgan Freeman. No,
it wasn't Morgan Freeman.
I don't remember.
It was a star. It was some actor, but I'm not placing it at the moment. That's a really difficult topic to talk about. Do you guys personally know anybody that's transgendered?
I've wondered about you a couple times, but no, I don't. I don't know of anyone.
I'm all man.
I've met people, but I don't like. I wouldn't.
You
say
don't have friends with them, so you don't understand from their perspective.
No.
That's a really tough thing because. So here's my take on it. Okay, so I don't understand it, and I probably never will because I've never thought, man, I should be a girl. I just that you know, people have said that about me before, but I've never felt that way inside.
Yeah.
And so let's assume that, and then you got people on one side of the fence that say, okay, this person's mentally ill. Okay, the only people that would do this are people that are mentally ill. They don't really feel they're a girl. They're screwed up in the head. Okay. Then the other side of the argument is there's nothing wrong with these people. They actually feel this way and they should change. And then a bunch of people in the middle. So where do you fall on this? And it's my point is not to say, well, this is exactly where I fall. But what I've told people, and I say this on Facebook a lot and on podcasts like this, et cetera, is the world would be a better place if we were just nice to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just be nice to each other.
We fall into
this trap where if people aren't exactly like you, that they're wrong, they're weird, whatever the case may be. And it couldn't be further from the truth. We don't need to understand Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner and what makes her tick in this case. And we may think it's weird, we may think it's gross, but at the end of the day, still a human being. Mm-hmm. Still worthy of respect. You don't have to respect the choice, but just respect the fact that they're on the planet with us, and you know, she has a right to be happy. Just like all of us do. And the thing that made it emotional for me was thinking about, again, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. She kept referring to the fact there's thousands of people out there, young people, teens, going through this, and they get bullied, and a lot of them do commit suicide or get murdered in some cases because people think they're wrong.
She told stories about that.
Yeah, and that is what's wrong with human nature. The fact that if you want to disagree with someone's lifestyle choice, great. Disagree. Say, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to be your friend, and leave it there. But people don't leave it there. They beat them up. They murder them. They make them feel bad to the point where people will kill themselves because they feel so bad about things. And that's why I'm like, what is wrong with us as people. You don't have to associate with someone you disagree with. Mm-hmm. So that's what I took out of the speech, is just be nice to these people. You know, I know lots of people that are like, you know, a less extreme example is someone that's gay. You know, I've had gay clients. I love working with gay clients. They've been some of the best clients that I've ever had.
Yeah.
Do I necessarily agree with the lifestyle? Not necessarily. No, I'm a heterosexual, but I was still very nice to them.
You don't have to.
I didn't treat them any differently.
You don't have to understand people to respect them.
Amen.
I mean, that's at the end of the day. I mean, I probably do a lot of things that people don't understand too, but hope you respect me.
I completely agree with everything you guys said. And I, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't watch the speech last night.
You should. You should go back and watch it on YouTube. It's really good.
It is good.
You know what? I might. I don't understand it, but that doesn't mean, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bash it or say anything bad about what Caitlin Bruce did. I don't know Bruce, Caitlin, obviously. But the only thing that I find a little odd is how the media has played this up versus playing up certain other aspects or certain other things going on. And I'm not going to sit here and be angry because certain things going on in the world don't get played up more. I just find it odd. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's played up because she was getting the ESPY for the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. I mean, if the media doesn't decide that.
Okay.
ESPN does. And it's a story when that happens. You get into a debate over
what is...
Let's be honest. That's a media-generated thing.
ESPN and whoever votes on it.
Is ESPN not the media?
Well, that's one entity, though. You can't point at Adam Schefter and say, I hate this guy, so every reporter sucks.
So here's my take on this, though. So you're right. It's media-generated, the award. It's just an award.
Yeah. Okay. So that...
So, yes, it could have gone to a lot of other people. I think half of why she got it was because of who she is. Reality show, famous.
100%.
100%. You know, it drove a lot of attention to the show.
Name another transgendered person of that level of fame.
The closest one
that's
that
ever been able to come out and spread the message before. I can't even think of the closest one
I can think of right now would be there's an actress named Laverne Cox who's on Orange is the New Black.
That's not on the same level.
But here's why, in my opinion, and I'm sure people listening to this would say, oh, this is ridiculous. But here's why, to a certain extent, I understand the courage part of it. Okay. It does take an extraordinary amount of bravery and courage to make this transition so publicly when you were so well known as a man, and not only a man, but the world's greatest athlete.
Yeah.
To do that your whole life and then come out and say at his age, especially, you know what? I don't care about any of that. I'm going to be true to what I believe I am, and stand in front of millions of people wearing a dress like you did last night. You can call it right or wrong, but it takes courage to do
Absolutely.
That.
Did he say last night or in any other interview? I'll be honest, I've never watched. I don't follow the story, but did he ever say when he felt that he was a girl? Like at what age?
Childhood.
Yeah.
Very early. Very early, he said.
I have a hard time believing that.
And
he could very well. I'm sorry. To be the world's greatest male athlete and feel like a girl doesn't add up to me. He slept with how many? I mean,
He has 10 kids.
I mean, come on, guys. There's something
but
there.
But I know a lot of homosexual people that
are married to a woman.
Yeah, especially like in she talked about it in the speech last night where she didn't get bullied because she was captain of the football team. A lot of times, I mean, you do things based off of pressure, and that's the courage part that Mark is talking about because it's so socially unacceptable.
Yeah. We're talking about the greatest male athlete in the world at one point.
Yeah, is it far-fetched for you to believe, because this is similar in a way, is it far-fetched for you to believe that in the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, whatever, that there's probably many homosexuals playing in those sports that are living a life that says they're heterosexual? You know?
Yeah, what does the athlete thing have to do with any? Are you gay people can't be good athletes?
My point is, though, that does this have to do with her being gay? It has nothing to do with her feeling like
a woman. I mean, I'm sorry. It just seems weird that someone that... I'm trying to say that. I mean, like I said, I'm not judging. There's a little bit of a question to me is if this person worked this hard to be at the top of their game, be an Olympic gold medalist in a male athlete sport, and whole life felt like a woman.
So what you're saying is, what I think you're trying to say is that if he felt this way his whole life, why did he take his body in such a masculine direction?
Exactly. I mean,
he was a feminine male.
He was a sex icon as a male. He was. I mean, they looked back in the 70s. He was a sex icon. Girls loved him, and he played into that. So at one point in his life, he played into that sex icon, and now he's playing into the woman one.
The way
it looks like a grab for more to be a celebrity than anything.
Some of the most insecure people you will ever know are also the loudest. And like if a guy tells you how much he could kick your ass, that's generally a red flag that he probably couldn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My point is I think that a person could feel that way and you go completely the opposite direction because you don't want to admit not only to everybody else, but to yourself that you're actually that way. And it takes courage and it takes years to build that up and go the other way.
I get that. I completely understand that. And like I said,
I don't think transgendered has anything to do with being a good athlete or not though.
No, I don't think it has to be being a good athlete. I guess I'm trying to go more in the male icon, like the sex icon that he was. I mean, you hear people talk about him in the 70s and every girl wanted to be with him and he was with every girl. It just, that aspect of it. Like I said, though, what Bruce Caitlin decides to do, I don't care. Do I get it? No. But I'm telling you, people don't get what I do. I mean, I sit here and I talk to you guys on a podcast and I guarantee you there's people being like, why are they sitting there talking on a podcast about sports and random stuff? That's stupid. I don't know.
You should watch the speech.
I'll watch it. Oh, maybe.
Open your mind.
But the thing is, I don't care enough. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. So I don't know if I care one way or another to watch it.
Yeah, it's just good for a pop culture reference, though.
See, I don't care about pop culture. I don't follow the TMZ stuff. I don't
follow
anything.
This is why he'll never be Size House of Trivia, by the way.
This transcends that, though. I mean, this is like how gay people can get married now. Like, you're going to see more people have the courage to admit who they are because of this.
And I'm happy. I want people to be happy, so admit to it. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to – I don't – what does that have to do with me watching this video, I guess?
I'm just saying, before you – like,
he's saying it's a seminal moment in American culture. And it'd be like saying like
– educate yourself to it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to see it and get emotional.
It may not change your opinion. I'm just saying you should take the 5 minutes and – check it out, because it was a really good speech.
I hope my opinion's not coming off as me being some heartless guy here, because I'm not at all.
You are heartless, man.
Yeah.
But things like this, I think, will continue to lead towards more openness in the sports leagues.
Absolutely.
You know, we're going to start, and it might still be a few years away, but I don't think it's going to be much beyond that, where we start to hear about more and more openly gay players playing.
Question.
Not like making the team or whatever, but just playing.
Yeah.
And you see the world's greatest male athlete up on stage in a dress, okay? That makes it a lot easier to be like, well, I'm not transgendered, but I am gay and I play for the 49ers. No, that's going to start to happen.
No, it doesn't make it any easier for the guys because Bruce Jenner's not in the locker room anymore. So that, it really.
Yeah, but it shows males, especially these really like manly men that are the best athletes in the world, what it can really be like behind the scenes. I think it does open up the door to some more acceptance.
And it's not ever going to become more acceptance until people start talking about it, and that's what's going on.
We're 2 years removed from this, though. Was it Collins, the basketball player?
Yeah, but that's one guy. Like, nobody knew who he was.
Yeah, that's been the problem. You've had Michael Sam. Who didn't do anything and hasn't done anything. You've got a player that was basically retired in the NBA. You haven't had a guy, you haven't had like a, you know, and he's not gay, but you haven't had like a Clay Matthews, you know, come out and say like, I'm gay and I kick butt at football.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Bruce Jenner or
Caitlin. It's inevitable that will happen. Yeah. At some point that will happen.
But you're telling me you think Caitlin will be the one that sets this off.
I think it makes it easier.
No, yeah. There's a difference between.
It's easier.
I don't think tomorrow like 10 dudes are going to come out of the closet.
They're thinking about it. It takes a trailblazer to kind of start a fire sometimes. And especially last night, this is why the ESPYs was a good place. That room was packed with some of the best sports stars in the world, right? They're there witnessing this. And maybe none of those players were gay, but they're seeing this person, you know, get up there and give a courageous speech and, you know, break down a little bit and all of this stuff. And they're like, man, if that person can do it, so can I.
Do you think we look back in history, we'll look at Caitlin as the one that was the trailblazer, or do you look, you think we'll look at Collins or Michael Sam?
No, no, neither one of those guys register at all. It'd be much more likely that it'd be Caitlin Jenner than either one of those two guys. But I don't think any of the people that have come out yet will be the person.
Wasn't Collins in the Sports Illustrated, the front page of Sports Illustrated? I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah, but
he
didn't have the star quality. It has to be a star.
I agree with you there.
I've heard from several people in the media that you guys would know, and this that won't be the person, but that have said Aaron Rodgers is gay. Well known among media circles that this is the case. And now, yes, he happens to be dating Olivia Munn, who's a woman actress. But this is exactly what we're talking about. Somebody like him could be dating an actress, and that doesn't mean that they're not gay.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
The minute an
gay
Aaron,
people the, get the, married
the minute
all the time,
an Aaron Rodgers comes out,
that's a game changer.
While playing,
game changer.
Then that's what it's going to take. And these moments with Caitlyn Jenner will make that moment easier.
And he would. I mean, I don't want to call Aaron Rodgers gay without knowing. He'd be the perfect one to come out because he's so on top and he's so well loved by everyone in his play. I think it'd be good. I think it'd go over really well, even in his locker room, and then it'd set a nice precedence for everyone else in football or basketball.
And
baseball.
I don't get the mentality. I mean, do you play football at all?
Into my sophomore.
Did you play
a little bit, but not much.
So I played football at Ames High, and then for a year in college, and especially in the case of a quarterback, because they're already the leader of the team.
Yeah.
If I had played with a guy that said, like, I knew my quarterback was gay, I would not have given a crap.
I wouldn't either.
I don't understand why it's such a big deal. I really don't.
Would it bother you in the shower?
No.
It wouldn't bother me either.
No.
It wouldn't bother me even a little bit.
That argument has always been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because, in the shower. Like, suddenly if you're gay, whether you're a woman or a man, that you turn into a rapist. I mean, that's so far-fetched.
You're exactly right.
That it's ridiculous.
It is.
You know? Oh, well, if he sees my butt in the shower, I better not drop the soap or he's going to be on me. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's the dumbest argument ever.
That is a dumb argument.
Yeah. It is.
But
what about the shower?
You've been pretty quiet over there.
Well, I think I said my piece. I don't really have anything else to add. Yeah. You guys have done a nice job.
We probably need to talk about something more lighthearted.
What do you want to talk about?
Did any of you guys look at the Sports Illustrated body issue pictures?
ESPN, you mean?
ESPN, I'm sorry.
Yes, I did. I looked through it.
What did you think?
Like in general? In fact, I showed it to my wife and I was like, look at this. These people are... The type of shape these people are in is amazing. That's what I said, honestly.
I don't understand the point of it. I find it a little bit unappealing to look at.
Why?
I just don't.
See, I didn't at all. I said to my wife, even the dudes, like, it shows you how crappy a shape we're all in.
No, and I agree, but I mean, who wants to just stare at a naked body of someone else, of another dude or another woman?
It's art.
You realize like porn is a massive industry, right?
But
so a lot of people want to do porn.
You don't see any. I mean, you see their bodies except for their boobs and their balls.
So here's my spin on this. Here's a perfect example of why I'm on this. And I think why people listen, because I'll say what I feel. Okay. Here's what I feel. God did an amazing job creating women. Okay. And I know for sure that I'm a heterosexual male. Okay. As an example, and I tell my wife this, so it's not like I'm, you know, whatever. I'm hiding things from her. When you go to a place like Chicago, right, and you're walking down Michigan Avenue, there's beautiful women everywhere, like everywhere, especially in the summertime when they're just wearing dresses and doing the whole thing. I won't go into detail. So I'm a married man, but I will never be able to not notice when a beautiful woman walks into a room, okay? Doesn't mean I love them. Doesn't mean I want to do anything with them. But I have a massive appreciation for a beautiful woman, okay? Now, do I want to sit and stare at one all day long through a photo? Not necessarily, but I get it. I don't see that there's much difference between going to an art gallery and looking at paintings that people think are beautiful and seeing a beautiful woman and feeling the exact same way about them. You know, it's just a different type of art, different type of creation. But these married males are like, oh, I never look, or whatever. Baloney.
Yeah, BS.
Baloney. That's stupid. You know, there's nothing wrong with seeing a beautiful woman, and for a woman seeing a beautiful male and appreciating the beauty.
Do you point the beautiful woman out to Kaylee?
Sometimes I do.
Do you?
Yeah, and she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, she's gorgeous. You know, women can appreciate another beautiful woman. You know, I'm my third kid's on the way. I'm married. You know, I'm not going anywhere. So I think she's okay with all of this. But I hate it when people are just, you know, they act naive about it, or they won't say how they're really feeling. Like, no, I never acknowledge any other women, or she's the only one for me. She's the only one I ever look at. Come on.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Well,
we don't think
she's
that
the only one for me, I get. I mean, that's a
well,
legitimate.
For me to be with.
Yeah.
But not like the only one I'll ever find attractive. Yeah. That is ridiculous.
What I find interesting about the ESPN body issue is, for instance, like the one of DeAndre Jordan, he's going up to like dunk a basketball.
Yeah.
You're so used to seeing these guys in their uniforms, right? You don't realize like how muscular that dude's thighs are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's
he's an animal. He is massive.
Like the size of his ass. You know what I mean?
Who was the
I get it. I guess I get that.
Like the one of the gymnasts?
It's not for me. I'm just saying.
The one of the gymnasts, like the thighs? My God, that gymnast thighs, like how strong that chick is?
The greatest comment I saw, and I do not remember, maybe you guys know, I believe it was a black player, which leads to the comment, jumping or doing something. I don't know if it was one of the basketball players or not, but the comment below the photo that I was seeing was they had to have photoshopped his you-know-what out of the photo, because it seemed like it was an angle where
it was DeAndre Jordan.
It would have been visible.
Yeah.
You know, and that leads into the whole black guys have big you-know-what.
Do you think they taped it to his leg?
Might have.
Yeah.
Might have. I'll never forget. I won't name names, but this is what the podcast is. But my roommates at Iowa State used to be on the team. They didn't play, but they were on Iowa State's football team. And from time to time, they would come home and tell me anecdotes from practice or just stuff that was going on. And there was a player, a very good defensive player at Iowa State, that was known on the team for basically having an elephant trunk. And they were saying, the guy had to strap it around his knee, kind of a thing. Like, it was awkward in the shower because it was, like, dangerous looking. So that's out there, man. That stereotype exists for a reason. With black males, it exists for a reason.
Oh man, this podcast has gone all over the board.
It really has.
All right, we got like 10 minutes left.
Should we clean it up?
Oh, I went to the Shittily D.
Yeah,
you sent us a pic. Yeah,
nice. Sat down, had a good conversation with Kevin.
Just you and Kevin, the only two in the bar?
No, my brother-in-law was with me.
So you had three people in the Shittily D at one time?
No, a couple of
randoms.
A couple of guys were there having a whiskey in the afternoon.
Nice. I'd rather talk about the football trip that I'm not invited on. You went all social media with.
No, yeah, it's being put together right now.
You, Bloom, Carper.
No, it's just my two high school buddies.
Yeah, I know.
We've had this plan for years.
Talking about some dream trip.
You want to come? You can come.
No, that's a backhanded invite.
Dude, I'm not even the one setting it up. That's the thing.
What does George say? You can take your invites and stuff them in a sack. And then it can stand. Was it apologies or what was that?
Well, I was thinking, when you said that, I immediately went to the wedding invitations. The poisonous wedding invitations that killed his fiance.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great episode.
Yeah.
Susan?
Yeah.
No, I'm not offended. As I'm compiling my guy trip that I'm putting together, I had a bunch of names in there and I just drew line through yours.
It's not like a guy trip though. It's three high school buddies.
So are they dudes?
You guys are driving down to Tallahassee?
Tuscaloosa.
Oh, Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, we're driving.
Alabama LSU this year.
I assume is Iowa State's bye week.
No, they play at Oklahoma. But pretty convinced that Iowa State will not be much in that game.
Yeah. This is actually really good news for all Iowa State, because whenever you go on a vacation, good things happen. So Iowa State will beat Oklahoma for the first time in 88 years.
The plan is we're going to leave on Wednesday night and drive down to Tuscaloosa. It's like a 13-hour drive. And then we may or may not spend Thursday in Nashville because it's on the way. Or we may just do two nights in Tuscaloosa. But we wanted to be able to take it all in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to just show up on the day of the game.
There's a good chance that'll be College Game Day that week, too.
I would think so.
You're a credentialed media member. Can you get a little one-on-one with Nick Saban on this trip?
I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything like that. I want this to be, like, roadies. You know what I mean? Like, just total put your phone away, that type of deal.
No texting Williams on this trip. He won't respond to us.
I'll respond. Texting's different. No, but we wanted to do this for years, and so my buddy who's putting this together, Shaner, is like a huge Alabama fan. Like, when we were kids, like, he was my next door neighbor. His dog's named Bama. Like, this, his Alabama heritage goes back generations. Like, his grandfather, his dad, like, they're just Bear Bryant. You know, I mean, it's all Bama. So we're all This year it's his trip, and that's the game we're going to. Mm-hmm. Next year will be mine, or the year after will be mine, and I'll probably pick Tallahassee because I want to go. Doak Campbell will be a stadium that I want to hit up.
Yeah.
I think Carper wants to go to, like, Notre Dame or the Big House for one of his first ones.
So. I hear the Big House is overrated.
I was talking to Steve Dace about this, who's a huge Michigan fan, and he tells me that place...
is quiet.
Well, it's all old people who are in the seats that matter, and mm-hmm. they don't make any noise.
Yeah, I hear it's quiet.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Notre Dame's pretty cool, I've heard.
I'd love to go to Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
See, that looks like atmosphere. The Big House seems like it's a huge stadium, but there's not a lot to see. It's just a big round circle.
Yeah.
Not a lot of character to it.
I've heard Ole Miss is like one of the most underrated
I would believe
venues.
That. I'm surprised you haven't gone down to Baylor yet. Or have you? Have you
I've
been there?
Iowa State gets them. They're at Baylor next year.
I think you'd be all about that stadium.
Yeah, it's at maybe
it's on the river. The stadium looks kind of cool.
Or Bryles, baby.
Yeah,
I don't.
He should pay to send you down there for how often you.
I can see you.
Right.
I can see you trying to work the angle to actually get a meeting with Art Bryles. Spend some time with him.
I could talk to Art Bryles next week if I want.
Oh,
maybe I should get a one-on-one with Art.
Do a little podcast with Art.
Probably do it.
I'm sure he has nothing better to do right now.
Yeah, and hang out with a hack like me.
He's all in it for the book sales and stuff like that. He's not a real coach.
Yeah, if he was, he would have won a national championship already.
Because what he's done doesn't speak for that.
Who's Baylor's quarterback this year?
Oh, what's that kid's name? He's replacing Bryce Petty. Give me a second.
Starts with an F, right?
Oh, shit.
Florence?
No.
Is he?
Nick Florence was there.
Oh, that's right.
Are they supposed to have a drop-off?
Give me
or be just as good?
No, he'll be. It's just plug him
Russell,
in.
Nick Russell?
That sounds correct. Just for the sake of accuracy, I'm going to look it up.
Though. I'll tell you this right now, Charter. He will be better than our quarterback.
You want to bet on that?
I feel very confident in saying that.
How dare you make these bold predictions?
Whoever Baylor has, whoever Oklahoma State has a quarterback, they're always going to be better than us. Always.
What I don't like here's what I've never understood, and... There's no logical explanation.
Yeah, it's but Seth Russell.
Yeah. So here's what I believe to be true, and explain to me the dynamic. Chris, you know the recruiting. Adam, this is up your alley too. So you've got lots of programs, Florida's, Alabama's, the powerhouses, right? And a lot of those programs have three or four quarterbacks on them. And I would argue that in most seasons, the third string quarterback at Bama, or maybe even a fourth string, might be better than our first string. Okay, that's my argument. Now you can say, I don't know, but probably. Okay, and these people may never play there. Why would anybody want to go be a third or fourth string person at a program like Bama that might win a national championship, but they don't play, versus going to an Iowa State and being a stud? I don't understand why that happens.
Well, that happens.
Because when they're recruited, they're thinking they're going to be a stud because these guys are top 50 recruits in the country typically when they're going to Bama. So they go in there thinking, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
And then they get there and they might not necessarily be the guy.
Just there are a couple examples coming to my mind. Just that kid from Eastern Iowa who was committed to the Hawks and he went to Bama, the offensive lineman.
Yeah, Pierce Schbacher.
Yeah, that kid. I mean, that's because he would have come right in and been the man.
Uh-huh.
At Iowa, but he chose to go and...
He played as a freshman at Bama.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that kid's good.
But see, and it worked out for him. But then I remember this guy, it was back, I think, in the McDermott era, that it was a JUCO point guard who was between...
Tyrone Applegate.
Applegate.
Appleton, something like that. Yeah.
That kid, he chose Kansas over Iowa State. He would have come right in and been the man.
I've never heard of him. So that tells me his choice didn't work out well.
He went to Kansas. He didn't play.
Yeah.
So, like, there's different, like, scenarios, yeah. But it works for some guys, doesn't for others.
But eventually you would say, okay, it's not working out here, so now I'm going to transfer to the Iowa State. But you don't see that. You never hear about, hey, the third string guy at Alabama is transferring to some lower program. Or if you do hear it, it's, like, usually not even, like, D1. It's something below that.
Or, I mean, I think the Florida State quarterback transferred to Alabama and it might now be the quarterback this year. Is that right? So sometimes those guys just transfer within the big programs because they say, well, my team's stacked.
Yeah.
This team's really good, but they have an opening at quarterback and they just flip over.
Yeah.
Iowa State, the only good Iowa State recruit that they've gotten from a transfer is Bo Williams, big stud running back.
DeVario Montgomery.
Yeah, South Florida, though.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating, especially when you see, like, an Ohio State last year, a perfect example of their third-string quarterback led them to a national championship.
Oh, yeah.
We would have loved to have that guy.
Yeah, that guy could have played quarterback, tight end, defensive end, linebacker for us, and been our best player at all every position.
Yeah, and just like we happen to get to see him because of injuries, but imagine how much talent is stacked on these benches that you never even get to see.
Oh yeah,
it sucks. Whatever. Wife of an Iowa State fan.
All right, I gotta go get my kid from your house.
What are you gonna pay my wife for babysitting?
What do you want me to pay her?
What's the going rate?
Don't be dirty.
What does she want?
Don't be dirty.
Oh, I know what she wants. I'm just trying to get a daddy like out of him.
I didn't drop one today.
Thank God.
Hey, there's still time.
Well, daddy did like that ESP in the body issue, though.
I haven't actually even seen it.
No, you didn't. That's not a gymnast? That's not a daddy like.
That's the best picture. I don't even know what you're referring to.
She's like jumping in the air and her doing the splits midair, and her butt's like all puffed out. And it's a strong one, you know.
You know what Chris likes? Chris likes a puffy butt.
Being a Baylor guy that he is, I thought he was going to say Brittany Griner was the one that.
Yeah, no.
Brittany Griner.
She did look more like naked, like a female, though.
Because she is a female.
When she doesn't have like the long shorts on and stuff. You know what I'm saying, though? Because she does look kind of like a dude when she's in the basketball uniform. But yeah.
How much are these photos doctored up?
Probably quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit.
So, I mean, that's. I don't know. I just find them very off-putting. I don't know. They don't do anything for me.
Gray's just peeing on everybody's Cheerios today. He doesn't like Caitlyn Jenner.
I never said I didn't like Caitlyn Jenner. I never said that.
You call Caitlyn Jenner a liar, basically, seeking publicity.
No, I said, the publicity thing. I question it. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I'm not going to go out and accuse, but I think it's natural for me to kind of question that.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's all I'm doing.
That's fair. All right, what are we doing this weekend quickly? Anybody have plans?
This weekend. You were talking about races the other day, and I've never gone. I'm tempted to go check out some races.
The IndyCar?
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah.
You want to go?
I've never gone.
Do you want to go?
Maybe.
I have four tickets.
Is it Saturday night?
Yeah, I have four tickets. Three of them are taken.
I might go.
I get you a pit pass.
Ooh.
Do you want to go? You get a verbal commitment right now.
Saturday
Going with my night. Dad and Chad Lysico from the Register.
Those two are the only reason I would go to.
But we're going to go on like Saturday afternoon, though, because we have pit passes. We're going to go watch qualifying. It's going to be a diehard race.
Can I like come later?
Yeah, but you won't be able to do the pit thing.
Well, I understand. But if I just want to watch a race, can I come later?
You can meet me there. We're going to be tailgating, drinking a lot of beer. You can't bring milk.
I'm a tentative yes.
Charter,
let me talk to the wife.
Let me save you from this. Don't go.
I've never seen a race in my life.
There's a reason.
IndyCar races.
I've talked to so many people that aren't race fans that have gone over there and said it's really cool.
It is cool. Like go for the atmosphere. Go to the tailgate. Go to drink beer.
I will say the tailgate is fun.
Yeah, that's what you do.
The race aspect.
No.
You think I'm boring?
I've been on the pit before for it.
I have my camper next year, I'm going to get the spots up on the backstretch so we can camp at the track all weekend.
See, now that would be fun. I'd be in for that.
Yeah, I just have no concept of how it works. I've never been there. But IndyCar's the fastest, so I might as well see that.
I think you should take me up and go down to the pits.
All right, I'm a tentative yes.
Okay.
As of now.
I need to know about the pit thing, though, because I got to get you. You would have press credentials.
Is this the biggest race at this one for the year?
This one or the NASCAR
Iowa Corn or whatever.
So
that's what this one is. It used to be the Nationwide. It's the Xfinity Series now. This one I believe is probably the biggest, but that one's right up with
it. When you say pit, are you like right outside the wall where the cars are coming?
No,
in?
No, we can go into the wall.
Can be like right there.
Yeah,
right in the action.
I'll get there.
I stood next to. Danica Patrick just stood right next to her.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you find her gross, like the body issue?
I found her very short. She's a very short with long hair.
I bet she's been in the body issue in the past. I don't know that, but probably. I bet she's been in
She's
there.
Cute, but she's short.
So anyways, that's what I'm doing, and then I'm flying to Dallas on Sunday.
How long are you down there?
I leave Sunday, get back Tuesday night.
Okay. I'm celebrating my anniversary. Julie and I have been married 7 years. So
God bless you kids.
Yeah, we're doing that.
Can I make fun of Bloom?
You know what they say about 7 years?
Bloom, yeah.
Bloom came over to do the Buffalo Wild Wings podcast, the summer series last night, and he had to do it early because he had to take his wife out to dinner. They're married, right?
Yep.
He had to take them out to an anniversary dinner on when they started dating.
That's
like 7 years ago or 4 years ago or something like that.
Once you get married, that
means nothing. It's stupid.
Yeah, that's
stupid. Have you heard, not that you guys aren't doing fantastic, but have you heard of the 7-year itch? That's a phrase. Is that another phrase you haven't heard of?
What do you mean? You want to cheat on your wife at 7 years?
The 7 year itch. It's as well known as the stitch.
I'm not there yet. Okay, Adam, are you there?
But the 7 year itch is
I love my wife too much. You
start to get a little bored, a little antsy.
Would you like to cheat on your wife?
Never.
Would you like to?
I don't even like to look at naked girls on ESPN magazines.
This is true.
That doesn't do anything
for
me.
Look at this dorky picture of Bloom on Facebook. It is anniversary dinner.
I already saw that.
I commented. I said, you guys are married now. You can't celebrate dating anniversaries. Yeah. Duh.
Adam strikes me as the type of guy that would, and this is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, even though it sounds like a bad thing. You strike me as this kind of guy that would turn down an invitation to the Playboy Mansion where I would go. And so would Chris.
Right now?
Sure.
It'd be tough.
Right now.
But I would probably turn it down.
See?
Out of respect for my wife.
Williams, yes, would you turn it down or would you say, I'm going to the Playboy Mansion, check it out?
No, my wife wouldn't even care.
I would go. Yeah. I'd be like,
my wife would be like, she knows I'm not going to do anything.
You say she wouldn't care.
She
but
doesn't.
No, she would care a little bit. No. She would.
The question would be like, why do they care though? Because they think you're going to do something?
Yeah.
Or you're just going to
enjoy the
scenery?
Do you think I'm
going
to have sex with a Playboy?
In the grotto.
Yeah. Come on. If she had invited to a Chippendales party, I'd be like, go have fun. It means that I can have a night with my friends. Mm-hmm. That's what I'd say. Go ahead.
If you knew your wife was
going,
every guy there looked like they were in the movie 300, and they were walking
have
around
fun.
Oily bodies. It would bother you. I don't care what you say.
Wouldn't bother me a bit.
You're full of crap.
It doesn't bother you if you don't think that anything will come of it.
Nothing's going to happen.
Well, so she goes.
Why would she leave this?
She goes and gets a little bit of eye candy.
Especially since she stuck with you long enough to now you're making money. She's not going anywhere now.
Gray, who benefits from this though? When your wife or any couple, if one person goes and gets like the eye candy somewhere else, and then they come home,
they're all fired up.
Who benefits? I benefit.
Yeah.
If my wife went to Thunder from Down Under and saw a show, then Daddy's going to have a good night.
Mm-hmm. Like when you went and saw
Why would I care?
Magic Mike's Double XL.
She saw that.
And you benefited?
Yeah.
There you go, man.
Yeah. So why do I care?
That sounds like you and Julie need to invoke some more trust into your relationship.
I have full trust in my wife.
Other than her seeing Magic Mike.
No, I actually saw it with her.
You went to that movie?
No, I didn't go to it. I've seen it with her. Mm-hmm. Not the first one. I have not seen the second one. I watched it.
XXL? I haven't seen that one yet either.
You saw the first one too, didn't you?
On HBO.
Yeah. See?
I was going to ask you real quick before we're done here. You ordered HBO for Ballers, show.
Yeah.
What have you been thinking of?
I give it like a C right now. But it's
You're hoping it gets better?
Yeah. It's like any new show.
It's character development
now. Yeah. Like but it's pretty bland.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of depth to it, but I'm hoping it gets better.
And there won't be in a half hour sitcom.
I was hoping it would be an hour.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were getting like a Game of Thrones where you could really get deep.
It's really like Entourage. It's the sports version of Entourage.
Yeah,
Entourage was never deep. Yeah. It was like surface level stuff.
It's going to be okay, and I look forward to watching it every week, but I'm not like crazy about it.
I don't like it that so anyone that's watched the show, you got The Rock, who's a financial advisor.
Oh, so you've watched it.
Yeah, he's not even a sports agent, but he's a financial advisor.
And this is Dwayne Johnson, The Rock?
The Rock, yeah.
Okay.
And he's been going back and forth. I think they've had, four episodes?
Probably three or four.
Like that, yeah. And they've been dwelling on the same story with his client trying to sign a deal, mm-hmm. his lineman, I think it is. And he's got this hanger-on friend that's in the way. It's like, resolve that story already. And get, they keep bringing it up. Yeah, Reggie.
Yeah. I just want to punch Reggie in the face.
Rob Corddry, the other financial advisor.
The white guy?
Yeah, he's funny, dude.
Yeah, he is funny.
He cracks me up.
His party on the yacht was great.
He cracks me up.
All right.
No idea what you guys are talking about.
Hey, we'll talk to you guys next week, all right?
Let's do it.
Or maybe Saturday at the pits.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.